You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Welcome to Eternity Church, second weekend 2019. God's going to do good things in your life. Praise God. God's going to do good things in our church. This is going to be a good year. Now, before y'all take your seats, I just got something I want to give away. You see, every single new person at our church leaves with a gift, right? So we have literally 1,000 of these to give away this year because we love it when people come to Eternity Church. We just really do believe that coming to eternity should be the best part of your week every week. Just the best part of your week. And so we just give you a gift, and we just know that being here blesses people. And so we want to thank you for coming here. And so what I want you to do after the service, go out the double doors down the back. And once you get out those doors, immediately to your right, there's a team of people waiting to give you one of these welcome boxes. They're really good stuff. We didn't go to welcomebox.com and just pick something off the website. No, we had our in-house designers design these, the t-shirts for you, which in here there are two, the journal, everything in here was designed for you and professionally made to bless you. So go get that after the service. That'd be fantastic. What I want to do with this one, though, is the first person from that section to jump on this stage. Boom! Come on. I love you. He's like, as soon as I said that second, he's like, I got it. This is mine. I'ma get that. I'ma take that. You may take your seats as you do. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm ready to receive. Turn to your other neighbor and say, are you? So last week, I launched 2019 and I preached a sermon where I talked about the prophetic declaration that I believe God called us to make over our church, our lives, so corporately and individually as we roll into 2019. And this year is a year to receive. Amen. Amen. Come on. Do you believe that? Come on. Is your faith risen enough to believe that? It's a year to receive. Amen. It's not just a year to receive what God has done for us or what we ask God to do in our lives or receive the long-awaited promises or healings or whatever it is, but it's also the year that God wants to teach us to learn to receive. To receive what God has already done and what God is going to do, praise God. Receive grace, receive hope, receive joy, receive forgiveness, amen. Anyone want any of that? Anyone want to receive a blessing from God this year? Then go to myeternity.com, that's myeternity.com, and watch last week's message. I really believe it'll set you up to have an absolutely wonderful and blessed year, okay? Sound good? Excellent. Yeah, so next week we've got Reggie Dabbs. Come on, we got Pastor Reggie Dabbs coming. That guy is on fire. His life is on fire. Anyway, that guy is on fire, right? And you will love it next week. I want to tell you, if you've got unsaved family, unsaved friends, bring them next week. They'll meet Jesus, and then they'll worship with you here forever. Sound good? And so do that. I'm serious. There is probably 30, 40 families in this church whose first weekend was a weekend that Reggie Dabbs was in our church, and they just kept coming back because our church is like what? Coca-Cola. Yeah, I changed it. It's like Coca-Cola, one drink and you're hooked for life, right? And so bring your friends next week. That'll be absolutely fantastic. Can't wait to see them. Hey, bring everyone else. If you've got friends who have, you know, sort of left their church looking for a church, have found it hard to find a church home, they will feel at home here. So bring them next week. That'll be fantastic. This week, though, we're going to roll back the curtain on the reasons why people do not receive. Last week, we talked about receive. This week, we want to roll the curtain back a little bit on why we don't receive. All the walls and the reasons that get in the way of our receiving. And church, we are going to crush them all today. Amen. We're going to destroy them, banish them, get them out of the way so we can receive what God wants to do in our lives. Are you excited? Fantastic. I know that it's been snowing and your joints aren't working, and so when you want to clap, it hurts a little bit because you got to move some of those iced up joints, and our jaw bones are a little iced up today. But come on, we can break that off and get fired up for what God wants to do in our lives in church. Church, are you with me? Awesome. Then let's have a great day. I'm going to preach from Exodus chapter 3. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 14 there. Then we're going to skip a little. Then we're going to go to Exodus chapter 4 and read a few verses there as well. So, Exodus chapter 3. One sec. Just getting rid of demons. Yeah. I'm just kidding. There's none in here. All right. Relax. My theology's fine. Exodus chapter 3. Now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God, and there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, whoa, man, it's on fire, but it's not burning. So he went over to the bush. Sorry for turning Moses into a stoner for a second there, but it kind of says it like that. And then God sees that Moses goes over there and he goes, Moses, Moses. And he's like, here I am. And then God says, do not come any closer. Take off your sandals. The place you're standing is holy ground. Mind you, this there's nothing to do with my sermon right now. Nothing whatsoever. But isn't it interesting that God would rather, see, you think you're dirty and you don't deserve to be in God's presence, but God would rather your bare skin in his presence than your shoes. He never wanted something to separate us from him in his presence, amen? Holy ground, so put your foot on it and receive what I gotta do, amen? Come on. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And at this moment, Moses hid his face and was afraid, and then hid his face and was afraid. Verse 7, the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of the slave drivers. I am concerned with their suffering. Hallelujah. God is concerned with your suffering. God is not a God who wants you to suffer. Anyone who believes that, I have no idea where the heck they read that. God is a good God and he wants to free us from suffering, free us from condemnation, free us from the hurt and the pain of our past. God heard that they were suffering and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land overflowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the Muscatites, and everything that bites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians oppressed them. So now go. Moses, so now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Moses could have left right then, because God said, Moses, so now go. Go. This conversation is over. Go. I'm sending you. But instead, Moses says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Then God said, I will be with you, and let this be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, suppose I go. Like, this is how I'm reading this, right? Like, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your forefathers has sent me to you. And they ask, well, what's his name? What should I tell them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. This started with a who am I, and it ended with an I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am the one who always has been, always will be, and always is. I am has sent me to you. Hallelujah. Then Exodus chapter 4, we pick it up. Moses goes, but what if this dude's as dull as can come right now, right? What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, what is in your hand? He's like, it's a stick. Throw it on the ground, Moses. All right, then. So he throws the stick on the ground. It becomes a snake. Then God says, pick up the snake. Let me tell you, Moses didn't have a faith problem. You don't have a faith problem if you're willing to pick up a snake believing it'll turn into a stick. Right? So Moses threw the stick down. It became a snake. That doesn't take much faith. Yeah, whatever. Oh, it's a snake. Faith is when I pick that thing up, it'll turn back into a stick, right? Moses picks up the snake, it turns back into a stick. Hey, Moses, I got another trick for you to prove that God, I am, have sent you. See that nice, pure, clean hand that you've got? Put it in your coat. Puts it in, pulls it out. Leprosy all over it, right? His hand is messed up. Me, I'd have been like, get that coat off me, right? Moses, put your hand back in the coat. So he does, comes out fully healed. Beautiful, perfect, nice new hand, right? Moses, another trick, take some water, tip it on the ground, it will turn to blood. Then the Lord said, if they don't believe the first sign, if they don't believe the second, then take some water, throw it on the ground, it will become blood. Verse 10, Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant. He's just not getting it, is he? Pardon your servant, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past, nor now since I've been talking to you. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who gave humans their mouths? Who heals humans? Who designed your mouth? Who designed the ear? Who makes the mute speak and the deaf hear? Verse 11, then he says, now go, I will help you speak and teach you what to say. Verse 13, but Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord, send somebody else. Pardon your servant, Lord, send somebody else. And then it says that the Lord burned with anger and against Moses and said, well, what about your brother Aaron? I know he can speak well, doesn't even need a miracle. He's already on his way to meet you. He will be glad to see you. You shall speak to him. I will help you both speak and I will teach you what to do. But he will be the one who speaks to the people for me. Did you catch this? This is nuts. See, not receiving is not always a faith issue. See, it's not always a lack of faith that stops you receiving what God wants to do in you. Moses had faith. He picked up a snake believing it'll turn into a stick. I've never, ever picked up a snake believing that it will turn into a stick, right? I haven't done that, right? Moses had faith. So there's some other blockage going on here, isn't there? There's something else that's stopping him and us from receiving. Remember I told you about the $10 bill? You go down the street and you got hundreds of $10 bills. So many people won't receive it. You're offering to give people $10 bills. Here's a free $10 bill. People are like, no, I'm good, right? But if you say to them, pick up this bottle of water right here, and then I'll give you $10, they'll be like, yeah. Then they feel like they earned it. Then they feel like they deserve it. Then they feel like something's gone. But they won't do it unless there's some other way to get it. Now, you might think that you would just receive it, but that might be true, but probably not. Most won't, because there's a blockage back here somewhere preventing us from receiving something that's free. We're going to kick that thing down today. Come on, you ready to kick that blockage down today? Some of you are in here and right, I'm going to keep that up right now. I don't even want to receive this. Come on, you need to kick that down in Jesus' name. I pray God soften every heart to receive this word in Jesus' name. Amen. Who taught us not to receive? God says to Moses, go now. I am sending you. Hides his face. Who am I? Such a negative start to a fascinating opportunity. Check out all the negativity from Moses in this passage. Who am I? Suppose I go. What if they? I have never. I am slow. I'm not eloquent. Pardon your servant. Send Aaron. And God burned with anger. First, he burned with passion in a bush, providing a wonderful opportunity for Moses, and then he burned with anger. See, God said to Moses, I am the one who made your mouth, son. I am the one who can miraculously heal and help you, but you just won't receive what I'm trying to do for you. So Aaron becomes the mouthpiece of God's instruction. Moses still went on to do many, many great things for God, and people all around him were blessed. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Moses is a champion of the faith, amen? Moses is an absolute legend. I thank God for Moses and the areas of his life that he paved away for us, but Moses missed out on a personal gift from God. That personal miracle that God had prepared for him, the healing of his voice, the healing of his speech, the gift of God to be able to speak and communicate in a way that he wished he could. So instead, he stayed slow to speak, stuttery, timid. Who knows that when God uses you to bless others, God's blessings are sticky and he wants to use them to bless you too. Come on, listen up. When God's blessing people through you, his blessings are sticky and they're going to stick to you. Amen. God wants to bless you. Why couldn't he receive? Why couldn't Moses receive? Better yet, why can't you receive it? I want to unpack this with you for a few minutes. Are you ready for it? Come on, are you excited about this? Because as I was writing this sermon, I'm like, oh, this is going to be good. Many of us won't receive because we won't even allow ourselves to ask for it. We think that asking for something is greedy. We worry that we might ask for something that's not in God's will and therefore we don't even ask for it. Church, just ask. Just ask. Sometimes the best way to figure out if it is or is not in God's will is just to ask for it and let God figure that out. This week, I asked for the most outrageously expensive and most incredibly amazing thing I could have ever asked God for our church. Ever. It was outrageous. I'm going to let him decide if that's going to be good for me or not. I'm going to let him figure that out, right? Hey, if it's in his will, he'll do it. Amen. Praise God. I want to let him decide. James 4:2 says that you desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and you fight. You do not have because you do not ask. Why don't you have? Because you do not ask. Just ask it. Quit trying to do God's job and figure out what's in his will or not and ask rather than coveting. Some of us, the blockage is even before the asking though, right? Some of us, you know, we don't receive and we won't even ask because they're blocked. But there's a blockage for some of us way before asking. You won't even allow yourself to want it. Like somehow we got confused between wanting and coveting. So we won't even ask for anything thinking that wanting and coveting are the same thing. They're not. Church, they're not. They're not the same thing. Coveting is a perversion of wanting. Come on now, that's what the devil does. He takes a good thing, perverts it into a bad thing. Coveting is the perversion of a good thing, wanting, a desire to increase, which by the way, God put in each of us when he said, multiply and increase, right? Coveting is a perversion of wanting and not the same thing. Coveting is wanting that one thing. We can want something and ask God for it, but coveting is wanting something that's not ours and is not ours to be had. The people in James 4 are coveting. Rather than asking God for something they want or something that they like, they covet their friend's truck. And rather than ask God for a truck like that, they kill their friend and steal his truck. That's what they were doing. You read the scripture, right? They've turned a simple good thing of wanting. They've turned simple desire, which is not wrong, which is fine and good and God bless you. They've turned simple desire into three sins with a neat little bow on top. Coveting, murder, and stealing. Scripture says, do not covet. Do not covet your neighbor's wife. Do not covet your neighbor's things. Do not look at your friend or your neighbor's spouse and be like, I want her. I want him. And then end up in bed with them. Don't do that. Don't do that. Now, if you've done this, hey, I'm not judging you. Hey, I don't know how many people in here have sinned this week, next week, last week, or last 10 years. I don't know what you've done. I'm not judging you. I don't care what you've done. You are forgiven. Hallelujah. You are forgiven. Hallelujah. Receive that in Jesus' name. Your past isn't counted against you. Just receive that forgiveness and move on. But listen up for how you can handle these things in future, so we don't roll down that road again. Instead, if you're single, ask God for a woman or a man like that in your life. Yeah? If you're married, ask God to help you see your spouse the way you've been seeing their spouse. Ask God to help you put a stop to this risky thought life that you've been entertaining. Ask Him to help you to think on pure things, right things, noble things, good things, holy things, righteous things. Ask God to enrich your marriage, amen. See, often, not always, but often we find ourselves coveting someone else's husband or wife when what we really want is that relationship. So ask for that enriching. Even ask your friend how you live that life. How do you treat your wife? How do you treat your husband? Why is your relationship seem so blessed? What do you do? Help me to learn to do that for my wife. Help me to learn to do that for my husband. Why don't we sit with those people who are setting a good example and say, hey, how do I do that? How do I get a marriage like that? How do I get a relationship like that? Come on. And then ask God to spark joy, spark beauty, spark fun, hope, romance back into your marriage and receive it in Jesus' name. Instead of being jealous, be inspired. Instead of being jealous of your mate's new BMW, be inspired by it. Rather than being jealous of your mate's marriage, be inspired by their marriage. Rather than being jealous of your friend's success, ask God to make you successful. Hallelujah. And then listen to what He says. God, make me successful in my business. He's like, start tithing. You're like, have you got something else? Come on, ask God, be inspired and ask God for that thing that you want and put into practice what He asks you to do. Hallelujah. Be inspired by their marriage. Be inspired by their watch, by their ring, by their relationship with God, by their spiritual passion, their fervor for the house of God, their personality, their joy. Be inspired by it. Church, you're allowed to want things. Come on, did you hear me? You're allowed to want things. You're allowed to want better. You're allowed to want a better marriage. You're allowed to want a home for your kids. You're allowed to want a better income. You're allowed to want a better boss. Now, obviously, notice that wasn't my staff. They're all like, I got the best boss. Right? Christy's sitting here. She's like, I don't need a better boss. I got the best one, but y'all need one like mine. Right, Christy? Clap now or find a new place to work. Come on. But for real, right? You're allowed to want a better boss. You're allowed to want a better attitude. You're allowed to want a blessed life. You're allowed to want a healing in your life. Can someone say amen? See, some of us have run so far away from coveting that we let wanting become evil in our eyes. You know, every prayer you've ever prayed is a prayer about something that we want. David said, create in me a clean heart. I want a clean heart. Restore to me my joy. Slay my enemies. That was a bit rough, but that's what he wanted. Prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. James said to ask for what we want rather than covet. Hey, church, check it out. If wanting is sin, prayer is sin too. I'll just leave that one with you. I think that's enough. Y'all, I got everything you need today. Amen. No, come on. Don't live in jealousy. Don't live just coveting other people's stuff. Don't live in bitterness. Stop living in lack and live inspired. Live up, live big in Jesus' name. Pray, ask, receive. Pray, ask, receive. Pray, ask, receive. Start wanting again, church. When did wanting something become so evil? It's not. That is good, isn't it? I like it. Praise God. I told you, when God uses you to bless others, it sticks to you and blesses you, because this is blessing me. Hallelujah. Now, for a few of us, though, the blockage is even further back before wanting. See, some of us don't receive because we won't receive. Some of us won't even ask. Some of us won't want. But for some of us, there's a blockage even before we could ever even want something. And we hear words like live inspired, live up, live big, live faith. And like Moses, you immediately start to say, who am I? I don't deserve it. Why do you think it so small of yourself? Why do you think so little of yourself? God has done good things for you. God has good things that he wants you to receive. God wanted Moses to receive a personal miracle, not just a miraculous display for everyone else's glory, for everyone else's blessing. He's not a user and abuser. He doesn't want to milk you for all your worth without blessing you while he helps you fulfill your God-ordained, heaven-sent purpose. Receive what God has offered you and realize that no matter your past, no matter your family, no matter your history, your past or present behavior, church, listen up, here's the zinger, you deserve it. You deserve it. Come on, I'll say it again till more of you get it. Y'all deserve it. You do deserve it. See, because we base deservedness, right, on worthiness, don't we? Right? We base deservedness on worthiness and worthiness on righteousness. Well, you are the righteous. You are the righteous. 2 Corinthians says that we have become the righteousness of God in Christ. See, remember we said last week, when God pulls your credit, just to check out whether you deserve this, he pulls your credit and all he sees is a picture of Jesus Christ. Because you are the righteousness of God. When you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you got what's called imputed righteousness. Now, right now, you didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. Now you do. Hallelujah. You didn't earn it, but God looked at you. God miraculously went, boom, and then you were made righteous. No matter what you've said, done, thought, whatever it is, God said, you are righteous. Now when he pulls your credit, it's Jesus. You deserve it. You deserve it. Come on, this is good. High five. Awesome preaching, Pastor Jesse. I receive that in Jesus' name. Come on, you are the redeemed, the restored, the remade, the renewed, hallelujah. Tear down the lies that keep you living low. Tear down the lies about the greed of asking. Tear down the lies of unworthiness. It's time to realize you are the worthy and the righteous, and the worthy and the righteous deserve to live in the favor and the blessing of God, hallelujah. You deserve an answered prayer. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. Come on, look at your neighbor. They are the righteousness of God in Christ, church. Receive what God has promised you. Come on, would you stand up and give him an offering of praise? Would you stand up, give him an offering of praise if you receive all that God wants to do with you? Come on, let's sing that song. And you I ran out of that grave.
And yeah. I ran out of that grave.
Sing it again. You call.
You call my name. And I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness. Into your glorious day.
Yeah. Come on, give a shout of praise in this place. If you receive that. Hallelujah. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are the redeemed. You are the renewed. You've been set free, set up. loved and highly favored. Praise God. Do you receive that, church? Praise the Lord. God is good, isn't he? Come on, God is good, isn't he? Yeah, amen. I just need you to get that. You know what you're not? You ain't a sinner. You're not. If you've accepted Jesus Christ into your life, you're not a sinner that's been redeemed. You're just redeemed. You're not a sinner made righteous. You're simply righteous. See, God says that when we give him our lives, we are born again, a brand new start. The past has been erased. That means that you have no past to be unrighteous. You are just now what God says you are. You are imputed with his righteousness. It's infused in you. You have received it like osmosis, amen. It's in you, it's on you, it overflows from you. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. And so if God made you a promise, you better receive it because you deserve it, hallelujah. If God made you a promise that your kids are gonna get saved, well, I didn't raise them right. Hey, you deserve it. You deserve it. If God made you a promise that you're going to get over that hurt, that you're going to get over that pain, and you're like, well, I earned that pain. No, 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 no. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You deserve to be over it. You deserve to be set free. Hallelujah. Stop living like that's your fault now. Come on. I should get on with the sermon. If you're in this place and you don't know Jesus, you need to give him your life today. Come on. Don't leave this place hearing about the goodness of God. For some of you, this has blown your mind. You're like, I thought God was a jerk on a hill, a magnifying glass, burning me every time I did something wrong. No, God is the one who wants to put his hand in the way and burn a hole through his hand to stop you from being hurt. He did that by putting his hand on a cross and it got nailed up there, so that the pain that the devil and the world seems to be inflicting on you, so he can take that from you. So that the sin that you committed and that I committed, so that he could take that away and call us righteous. So that we wouldn't have to be punished. So that we could receive that imputed righteousness of God. And so the moment we give our lives to Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. God comes in and makes us righteous, and then forever that's what we are. I'm just saying right now, give your life to Jesus. Forget about the past. Let God renew you. Let God restore you. Let God redeem you. Redeem is something that where God will take the trash of our past done to us or by us and use that to bring a blessing into your future. That's redemption. That's redeeming something. Would you let God take your life, bless it, make you righteous, and set you up to live the life that he designed for you? Because I'm telling you right now, it's the best thing you'll ever do. People say, life will get better when you accept him into your life. I'm not asking you to change. I'm not asking you to stop saying things, doing things, stop cussing. Clearly, I can't even, right? Not asking you to be anything else, to dress like me, talk like me, act like me, none of that. If there's something in your life that's wrong, offensive to God, hurting you or hurting others, hey, God will talk to you about that when the time's right, either tomorrow or in 10 years, 20, I don't know. God will work on your heart with that. And then when you're ready, he'll give you the strength to have a victory in that area of your life. I'm not interested in fixing people. I'm interested in fixing their righteousness. And when you give your life to him right now, he's going to make you righteous and set you up to live the life that he designed for you all the way back when he said, let us make mankind in our image. So will you receive that today? The way I want you to do that is I'm going to say a prayer one line at a time, and I want you to pray it with me. Don't worry, you won't be alone. Every single person in the room is going to pray this with us so that you won't be alone. You don't have to stand out here. We're not going to point you out or anything like that. We just want you to pray this prayer and give your life to Jesus Christ. So everybody in the room, pray this prayer with me, and especially those who are away from God. Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross for my sins, the things that I'd done wrong. He rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. I receive your forgiveness. I receive this new life with you as my Lord and Savior. Help me to live it the way that you designed for me. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Come on, praise the Lord.